Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Countdown to Halloween. This show is uploading October 20th. Wow. 11 days.
Before you know it.
Do you know what you're going to be for Halloween?
Working.
Oh, well, that's not fun. I meant costume-wise. You going to any parties or anything?
No, because I'll be in the middle of office move slash my move, I hope.
Ew. Oh, well.
You're not going to be going in costume. It's called work costume. Work clothes.
Oh, that's too sad. Well, I'm going to a party, so...
La-dee-da.
And you know what? I have to tell you. In fact, I've forgotten to mention this past couple weeks, but we're supposed to be doing the Mysterious Maryland tour on November 4th.
That's correct.
However,
uh-oh.
The cutoff to register for a hotel room at the preferred NJGHS rate was October 4th.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know if anybody signed up for it or not. I may end up having to cancel this event. Because the last time I looked, I only had one person who registered to go. So I may end up just refunding their money and calling it a day.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
I guess people are just too into the Halloween stuff. They don't want to travel the week after. They'll be too tired. But we'll see. You know, check it out. It's on the Ghost Hunting Tour page of the Halloween page. At the top of the Halloween page, there's a bar. You know, and it says Ghost Hunting Tour. Click on that and check it out because it really is a cool tour. We're starting out at like 4:30 in the afternoon, going till 8 o'clock at night. So you really get your money's worth for $15. And that's the buddy rate that Vince is giving us. Normally it's $20 a person. But in the Days Inn Inner Harbor, where I had the preferred rate of $149, you know, and that's where we're going to meet in the afternoon. And he's going to tour us and walk us over and get to see Edgar Allan Poe's grave and go into the catacombs and investigate for 2 hours and... be out of there by 8 o'clock at night and go get some grub.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, but if I only have one or two people show, you know, registered, I have to cancel it because there's no point.
I mean, hell, we have a hard time getting people to vote for us.
Or do a parishare. So what was I thinking?
Really?
You know? Just shoot me. All right, so anyway, it's time to talk about our upcoming meetings. Now, all meetings for the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society are free and open to the public to attend. They all start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. Next one up at bat is October 26th, the Bogota Recreation Center. That's the Northeast Division, headed up by Laura Lindemann, team leader. It's located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. After that, November 1st, the Central Jersey Division, headed up by Gregory and Sherry Irish in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road, Hazlitt. And after that, the Northwest Division, headed up by myself, is on November 21st at 293 Main Street, the Community Center in Hackettstown, New Jersey. We're in the Blue Room. So don't forget to listen to our specials, our Halloween specials that'll be uploading October 27th and November 3rd. These shows will have been taped live at a haunted bar or pub. And stay tuned to the website as well. Actually, by the time this show is airing, it's too late. We'll have already recorded because we're recording October 10th. This is the October 20th upload. So, but anyway,
our secret.
Now you know our secret. Yeah, but listen. You know, on the 27th and November 3rd, because that's when you'll get to hear. And hey, if you were one of the people who stay tuned to the website or the Yahoo groups and came to the specific bar when we were taping, you might get to hear yourself on the show. How cool is that? Okay.
I hate hearing myself.
No, you have a great voice. People tell me that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I either hear, that Brian is so funny. That Brian's got such a great voice. My older son calls you King Brian, you know, so it's like, can I say? I'm just chopped liver over here. but that's cool. Oh, and I have more presentations coming up. I've been getting through all this.
Aye.
Oh, boy. You know, it's like, and people, you have to realize I still work a full-time job. I have a commute that is a full-time job in and of itself. Okay, just getting to work is a job. And getting back home. Then I work a full-time job. I have 2 kids. And yet, I'm being a trooper. Maintaining the meetings. And I'm getting through these presentations that I've been booked for. One of them I was booked over a year in advance for. You know, which that one's coming up on the 23rd. But October 19th, I'll be at the Belvedere Women's Club, which by the time the show airs, well, you've already missed that one because that was last night. Oh, well. But the next one that you can catch is October 23rd. It's the Matawan Aberdeen Library in Matawan, New Jersey. It starts at 7 p.m. And the last one of the season will be November 1st at the Ocean County Library in Lakewood, New Jersey at 7 p.m. So, I have to tell you, we actually have people that not only listen to the podcast, actually pay attention and do some follow-through and then email me pertinent information.
Yeah, those are called suck-ups.
No, they are called people who are really, I would say, dedicated to the craft and research and really paying attention. So I'm impressed, and I'm very blessed to announce that we have two follow-ups.
Wow.
Now, this goes back to, I don't know, a good 3-4 weeks ago of our shows. And first one says, "Hi there. As I've been listening to this recent podcast," which I don't know which episode this was, she said, "I called my mom, who is a New Jersey realtor and has been for over 18 years. Remember when we were talking about how they have to disclose now if the house is haunted?
Right.
And I said, are you sure? I thought it was only if there has been a murder or a death. Well, here's the deal. This is Dina's mom, has been a realtor in New Jersey for over 18 years. She said, I asked her if sellers or realtors, by law, have to disclose any reports or stories of any purported hauntings. She said, no. There is nothing in the law that says that. They do have to disclose any murders, suicides, and such, but not ghosts or hauntings. I then asked if the buyers were to ask the realtor, what do you say? Realtors are supposed to say, ask the sellers about that, and if the sellers want to disclose that, if applicable, they can. So, the realtor just basically takes the fifth on it and leaves it up to you, the buyer, to find out for yourself. And they don't have to tell you if the place is haunted, just if there are any murders or suicides.
Well, now, if you ask them outright and they say no, and...
That's why they're not going to say no. They're just going to say ask the seller and put it on them.
Right, but if the seller says no, does it matter?
I guess if you made it part of your contract. Well, like, you know, if we find out that this house is haunted, we're, you know. But I don't know. Yeah, what are you going to do? Like, if you really fall in love with the house and you've got a great deal on it, and why is this sounding like Amityville Horror? But, you know, but you usually know. You usually have a sense if something's there. I mean, I know I would. I know when I was younger, we were looking and we had to relocate. We were in a rental house, and that was haunted. But we were still looking to buy one, and I can remember walking in and out of places going, there was just something that just, it didn't feel like home, didn't feel right. And you just kind of know. And the reason we ended up in a haunted rental house was because we were being transferred so quickly. My grandmother, who was still living up here, she went and found this in the paper. So it wasn't like we had a chance to go and like look and decide. It was like we moved up and there it is, you know. So thank you, Dina, for the follow-through. So that's the deal with that. Now, on another show, remember when we were discussing the story from the book Doors to Other Worlds and how they ran that experiment?
Yep.
Where they took the photographic paper in a dark room and they held it up to their foreheads without touching, and these scientists would just visualize their particular image they were assigned. And several of them supposedly were successful in when they developed that strip
of
getting that image. Okay. So this is from David Roundtree. He says, just finished listening to your concerns as referenced by the photographs from no camera experiments from the 1930s. In that experiment, the test subjects were trying to imprint the film with their thoughts, not subconsciously imprinted the paper. Generally speaking, a sensitive would have to be attempting to imprint the evidence in order to actually succeed. I have not read anything about subconscious imprintation ever being recorded, so I think you are safe.
Hmm.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm reading this going, okay, you lost me, but I don't know. Generally speaking, a sensitive would have to be attempting to imprint Well, that's what they were trying to do. They were forcing
it. Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to go back over the last...
But he's saying, I have not read anything about subconscious imprintation. Well, they weren't... I don't know anything about the subconscious. I thought they were just doing it consciously and willingly and really focusing on it to make it happen, and some of them had it happen.
You got me.
Oh, well. What do they say about science? It's man's attempt at explaining everything God knows.
I've never heard that.
Oh, all right, well.
Must be a woman thing.
No. All right, so let's move along to Shout Out. And I apologize if these shows seem brief, but Brian and I are fried to a crisp because this has been a hell of a month, so. So Shout Out, each week we will give a shout out to paranormal investigating groups or ghost hunting clubs. We want to recognize those exceptional organizations out there in the field who are doing the research and sharing their findings via their websites. If you would like your group shouted out at, send an email, actually, with the link to your site to thedeadline@njghs.net. We'll check out your site, and if you make the grade, we'll email you to let you know which show your shout-out will be aired. This week's shout-out goes to GettysburgRail.com. Now, this is Mark Nesbitt's ghost train. And you can take his tour or his famous ghost walk tour in Gettysburg. The train ride is a 16-mile ride into the eerie darkness, and you get to hear all these ghostly tales. I, myself, have been on this train tour. Very fun. Of course, I picked, like, the hottest day and the most humid day of the year, not a breeze to have been found.
What, it's not air-conditioned?
No. It's just an open train car, you know. But it was fun. The stories were good, and if you can check them out at www.gettysburgrail.com. So there's your shout-out, Mark Nesbitt. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, I'm Mark Nesbitt, and you're listening to The Deadline, a podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Thanks to those of you who took the time to write in and share your great ghostly encounters and paranormal experiences. I wish I could continue that thanks, but nobody's written in, so
bite me!
No, stop. But anyway, if you haven't already, please send in your parashares to thedeadline@njghs.net or use the handy form on the deadline page of the njghs.net website. And if your story really rocks, we will invite you to come in on the show and tell it yourself. Travel, of course, is at your own expense to Parsippany, but we will provide the Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
You know what? I'm about to rescind that offer, too.
Yeah.
I'm tired of offering it to
ungrateful
people.
It's no skin off your tomato, as they say. You know? It's nobody showing up, so it's not like it's costing you anything. And we've suspended the monthly drawings for people who submit parashares for membership in the NJGHS. That was the prize, because we're going to postpone that till November. We're just too busy right now. Anyway, so in lieu of a parashare being shared, I dug out an older issue of Weird NJ, really cool magazine. It's number 20. And while I was flipping through it, I came across this really good ghost story. And it's like 11 days or so, a week to Halloween. What better time for a ghost story? So this is what somebody wrote in. This is a person named Dennis B., a resident of Browns Mills. And he wrote in about the Browns Mills ghost boy. I have recently encountered a ghostly sighting here in southern New Jersey in a town called Browns Mills. Excuse me. I was traveling on foot about 9:15 p.m. on a road named Juliustown Road. which intersects with Pemberton Brown's Mills Road in the center of town. I was walking to the Country Farm store. As I was walking along, it was still slightly light out, and I saw a figure of a very young child, about 4 years old, standing directly in front of me. I called out to that child, and I asked him what he was doing out late without his parents. He replied back to me in an eerie-sounding voice, saying, "I am looking for my family." He asked me to help him find his family. I agreed to help him out and followed him towards a vacant lot. As I was looking at this child, he looked to be quite ghostly in his figure, slightly transparent, and yet so much like a real person. I kept talking to this young man, but the more I spoke, the more the child seemed non-respondent to my questions. I suddenly heard a sound behind me of a fire truck siren, which caught me off guard, so I turned around to find no fire truck. When I turned back to the boy, he was completely gone. I called out several times to the boy with no answer. I was hoping that the child found his parents and was home safely in his mother's arms. I continued looking for a bit to see if I could spot the boy, but I turned up with nothing. He seemed to have disappeared without a trace. I walked down to the store, and I was telling this older gentleman about the child that I had encountered on the road. The old man told me a story that happened about 23 years ago on this date. The story was about a young couple that owned a house that is no longer on that road. He told me that the young couple was at a church service that evening about 9 p.m. when they were returning home to see nothing but fire trucks at their home site. When the young couple got to the road in front of the house, the local fire company was putting out the fire in their house. They were terrified to say that our 4-year-old son and babysitter was in the home. The local fire company would not allow them to go near their own house because of the dangerous conditions and because there was a possible gas leak that ignited the blaze. After about a minute of watching the fire, the husband ran past the firefighters to see if he could get into the house to rescue his son and the babysitter. He wasn't able to get close enough to the house because of the high temperature of that fire. The local police intervened and escorted the young couple to a safe place until the firefighters completed their job. The hours that went by were entirely devastating for the upset couple. After about 2 hours and not having any word on the situation, the couple had gone through so much emotional stress that they were taken to the local church and through the comfort of the congregation and the pastor to pray for the safety of the children. Unfortunately, the children were never found in the charred remains of the house. The whereabouts of the young couple are unknown today. The house no longer sits on that property. It is now a vacant lot. A few other townspeople have confirmed the story that was told to me on that night. So now I do believe in ghosts, and I am very sorry to hear of this unfortunate incident. I am very surprised that this happened to me, because nothing as interesting as this has ever happened to me. Well, I know that this story is a true story, for I have been to the local fire company and have spoken to the elders in that company that had to battle the blaze on that night. Wow.
Very nice.
That's creepy. There's a little ghost boy right in Scotch Plains. Did you know that one?
Not offhand.
Yeah, right on Park Avenue in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. There's, it dates back to the days of where it was still a dirt road and stagecoaches and horse-drawn, and horses were going up and down. And
right, right.
This little boy ran out in front of one of the stagecoaches and they couldn't stop in time, and they ran him over. And they say, supposedly to this day, you can be driving down Park Avenue, and sometimes at night you see this ghost of this, it's a ghost, but it's this boy running in front of your car, and people have locked up their brakes because they're trying not to hit him, but it's probably more of a residual haunting. It's just something itself,
right.
You know, because that is pretty tragic and traumatizing, and that, but yeah.
Hmm.
Right there, and of course, you know the ghost of Jeanette Lawrence and Madison,
yep.
Seen waving goodbye, and then she gets murdered right there on Ridgedale Avenue. Actually, that anniversary's coming up, right? In October, she was murdered back in, 1921 or something?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So, yeah, really, if you have any of these stories, like, in your local area that you know of, like, ghost children, people that, you know, accidents, things that have happened, please email us, because we'd love to follow up on stuff like that. It's very interesting.
Yes, we would.
You know? So, thanks to issue number 20 of Weird NJ, because those of you who didn't bother to write in a fair share. Okay. So, moving on. I have some news of the weird. And this dates back, unfortunately. It's almost a month old. Yeah, it goes back to September 24th, but...
Oh, well. We'll use it.
We'll use it. It's from newsoftheweird.com. A trial judge, Florentino Floro, was fired by the Philippines Supreme Court in April, and his appeal rejected in August. After investigators... We can cut that music. Thanks.
Fine.
I'm like, all right, I don't want to hear this again. And his appeal rejected in August after investigators found that he had claimed to rely on three mystic dwarves. Yes, you heard it here. Three mystic dwarves named Armand, Luis, and Angel for psychic powers and the ability to write while in a trance. Floro protested media accounts of his firing to the Wall Street Journal in July, denying that dwarves helped him decide cases and writing that Armand, Luis, and Angel are merely spirit guides and that he himself is gifted from God to heal and to prophesy. That's what everybody wants on their Supreme Court.
Well, I thought it was going to be like, you know, dopey, sneezy.
Oh, no, man. He picked nice names like Armand and Luis and Angel. Okay. In July, according to a Canadian press report, a Walmart in Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, Quebec, received a bomb threat and immediately dispatched about 40 employees on duty to look through the store to find the explosive. The customers were allowed to leave, though, and ultimately it was a false alarm, but go Walmart. Not only do you screw people over that work for you by keeping them part-time and not giving them benefits, working them to the core, you send your employees in to look for a bomb. Oh, that just says, yes, let me be employer of the month.
Yeah, but why is this actually considered news of the weird? For Walmart, that's not weird.
Well, you have a very valid
that's standard
point.
Standard policy.
I know. They are, like, brutal from what I hear to their employees. I mean, it's like I said, they keep a lot of them. Like, if your hours start creeping up where you'd qualify for benefits, boom, they slice your hours. They keep you part-time and, you know, it's cruel. It's just those big things, those Disneys, those Star Sucks, you know, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, enough of corporate crap, America. Well, in this case, Canada. Let's move on to here's, we'll go over to the Far East, okay? A puppy with six legs and two penises was reported outside the Kwang Song Temple in Malaysia in June, according to that country's Star newspaper. Now, I take it that the Star is like our Inquirer? Or is it
yes.
like our Star, you know,
no.
where they have all those stupid things on it?
Probably.
So, six legs, two penises. I thought you had a sound file for this. I guess not. Okay. And a kitten was born with two faces in July in Grove City, Ohio. Well, hey, that's right in our backyard, Ohio. And another with just one eye and no nose was born in Syracuse, New York. So, it's like invasion of the weirded out pets.
Must be.
Mm-hmm.
The world's coming to an end.
This is it. A kitten with two faces. You know, that's like the god Janus. He had two faces. You know, like that's where January comes from. That's why Capricorns, who are usually the predominant sign of January, are always known to have that duality because of the god Janus and two faces. And okay. Moving on. And the World
Please.
Aquarium in St. Louis, Missouri, ran an exhibit in August featuring 10 two-headed snakes and turtles. Two-headed snakes and turtles. And a 24-year-old businessman in a hospital in New Delhi, India, in August, was reported to have two functioning penises. There you go, girls. It's in India. There in India. Sanju Bhagat was admitted to a hospital in Nagpur, India, in August, where doctors expected to find a very large abdominal cyst. But instead, said the surgeon A.J. Mehta, to my surprise and horror, I could shake hands with somebody inside. Bhagat was a victim of a fetus in fetu, in which his birth twin, wait till you hear this, had migrated to the inside of his body and continued to leech off of him. Mehta extracted feet, hands, hair, and a jaw.
Wow.
Ew. Like, ew.
Is that like your conscience?
I mean, you know, like, what's eating at you? Huh, it's my twin brother.
Boom, boom.
Boom. Anyway, moving on. Now, here's something bizarre in Pretoria. I don't know where Pretoria is, but let's see. Lila Magnus in Beeld, Pretoria, was barefoot, wearing just a shirt and hugging one of his five dogs. 60-year-old Desmond Smith watched in silence. Oh, I'm sorry. They're saying that's the name. Never mind. Desmond Smith, he's a 60-year-old from Pretoria. He's barefoot and hugging one of his five dogs and watching in silence while police searched and later removed the body of his embalmed mother from his home at the weekend. Okay, this dude is so bizarre. He works at a deal with the local, I don't know what you call it, like
funeral home.
Embalms his mother, has a nice air-conditioned room built in the house, and keeps her in there. His mother, Talita, died in Eugene Maris Hospital in Pretoria of a heart attack in 2001. Smith made arrangements with a funeral parlor to embalm his mother's body. Her body was placed in a coffin in a refrigerated room next to the front door, no less. The coffin's lid was kept open, and the glass that sealed the bottom part of the coffin was decorated with dried flowers and a silver angel. Some residents of Doreen Street thought Talita had been buried in the garden, and others speculated her remains were kept in an ordinary fridge. Another rumor was that she had been murdered in the house, just like the previous owner. However, the truth came to light at the weekend when the coffin was moved out of the refrigerated room and taken to Pretoria mortuary. Sunnyside Police Station Acting Commander Gawi Alberts said it was not unusual for family members to keep the remains of a loved one in a special refrigerated room, but that they had to get permission from the municipality. That's weird. Can you imagine going downtown? I need permission. I'm on a store, you know. Okay. It's a family affair. We've got to establish if Smith got permission to keep his mother's remains in the refrigerated room. Police decided to move Talita's remains to the Pretoria mortuary after establishing that the house had no electricity for the past 2 days.
Oh, stinky.
That's what gave it away. That's gross. I mean, that's just gross. You know?
Well, hey, you know, some people want that. Tradition, maybe.
I mean, I know back in the day, like here, you know, we did, like, wakes and stuff were held in the parlor of your home. But then that was just the wake, and then the body was taken, and you had the funeral, and it was buried. But why would you want to build a refrigerated room and keep, you know?
Mama's boy?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, what does that remind you of? Norman Bates?
Well, no, wasn't there a...
Why do you keep me in this fruit cellar? You think I'm fruity?
And you do the voice pretty well.
Norman! Norman, get me out of here! Well, there's your psycho treat. Happy Halloween. If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Kelly Weaver of the Spirit Society of Pennsylvania, and you're listening to the Deadline podcast of New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. Last week you were asked, in Des Moines, Iowa, the Drake University Observatory houses a ghost of a former professor. What is the name of this professor who to this day students experience his ghostly corrections on their calculations and their observation logs? The answer is Dr. Robert Morehouse. So, congratulations to those of you who wrote in with the answer. This week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of very challenging.
It's very challenging.
Here you go. In the Masonic Cemetery out in Central City, Colorado, there is a ghost lady who is dressed in black and is seen placing blue columbine flowers on the grave of blank every November 1st. Whose grave is she placing flowers at? Okay, Central City, Colorado. They see the ghost of this woman in black placing flowers on this grave every November 1st. Give us the name of the person whose grave that she places the flowers at. If you're the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, you'll win a CD crafted by our own Brian Sand of our earlier podcast, as well as the official bumper sticker of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, which simply says,
"Honk once if you're haunted, twice if you're possessed."
Very good. Very good. You got that down. Let's see. Oh, and don't forget to visit ghostworldconference.com because the time is ticking.
As soon as you go vote for us, go check that.
Go to podcastalley.com, vote for the show. The link is right on the deadline page, and it's on the homepage of the NJGHS.net site. And then go check out ghostworldconference.com. The early bird registration price of $95 will be going away as of November 1st. Okay, if you're a member of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, you would qualify for the buddy rate of $85, which is good till April 30th, 2007, but you must email me directly for that private link in order to register at that rate. Okay, so stay tuned to the website. It's www.njghs.net, and sign up right from our homepage for our Yahoo groups, because then you get the latest and greatest emails. It's not one of those typical groups where everybody sends emails back and forth and you get deluged in your inbox. I'm the only one who can send out an email to keep you updated on stuff. So, yeah, check that out and join up on our Yahoo groups. And you can always check out the MySpace page for NJGHS. I mean, if you want, it's, you know, it's mostly my stuff, but it's the ghost stuff too. So it's myspace.com/NJGHS. So it's pretty easy to get to. All right. So thanks, as usual, to our wonderful Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And, of course, Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our theme song. And thanks to all of you. And, you know, enjoy the Halloween holiday and trick-or-treat safely and party hardy and enjoy. And keep downloading our shows weekly because, you know, at some point in life you have to meet the deadline.